Now let's continue on. Let's come to Psalm 29. We'll be going through a good number of psalms here. Psalm 29. And it talks about the peace of God. If you want an interesting study and you've got a computer program, look up everywhere it says peace. Look up all the scriptures. I assume one of these days we will all have digital Bibles. How many have used a Faithful Version online yet? How do you like it? Oh, you do? Okay. Worked good. Okay. Psalm 29, the very last verse. The Lord will give strength to his people. And this is what we need. Strength spiritually, mentally, physically, and add to that endurance. Because Jesus said, the one who endures to the end, that one will be saved. Okay. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And that's what we need. Peace of mind individually and peace between all of us individually and collectively. Because, think of it this way. Some people treat others this way. I'm friendly to your face, but in the back of my mind, I'll never forgive you for this, but I'll be nice to you. All right. Now, that may work on a pretense or a show or temporary truce and getting along. However, we're talking about spiritual peace. So think of it this way. What if Christ said, okay, I'm going to forgive all your sins, but I'm going to keep this one in the back of my mind. Okay? Then here comes a long time for resurrection. And lo and behold, when you're resurrected, you find you're not in the first resurrection. And you ask Christ, well, I thought I was going to be in the first resurrection. Well, I had this in the back of my mind and I changed it. Okay? So you need to think of it that way. The stakes are a whole lot higher than just public relations and smooth words to get along, see? In other words, how shall I say, politically correct? You know, it's like, well, if we're nice to the Muslims, they won't hurt us, and they come in with a gun right between our eyes. All right, let's go to Psalm 85. Psalm 85 and verse 7. Now, here's what we want. Psalm 85, let's pick it up here in verse 6, rather. Oh, no, you will not give us life. No, verse 7. Verse 7, show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Now, that's what we want, see? And Jesus makes it really clear. If you want mercy for yourself, you better have mercy on your brethren, right? Yes. Well, I know they'll do it again. Jesus said how many times? 7 times 70, okay? And grant us salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. So even carnal Israel could have a higher degree of peace if they would do things at least in the letter of the law. And to his saints, the saints are those who have the Spirit of God. But there's a condition. See? Let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, so that glory may dwell in our land. Now, I love these verses, and Jim and Betty gave me a little plaque with those printed on there one time, so I still have it at home. Okay. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now, that's very poetic, isn't it? Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness goes before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. And that's what we need to do, walk in the steps of Christ, see? Now think of it this way, I've mentioned it before. We stand in his grace, we walk in his faith, we believe in his hope, and we live in his love. Now that's a summary of how we are to conduct our lives. And if we do that, that'll keep us out of a good amount of trouble, right? Yes. So if you slip up, don't worry about it. Come down here, 86 and verse 10. Let's go to verse 9. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you. That's during the millennium and the great white throne period, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wonderful things. You alone are God. Now, think of it this way. God is able to every person on earth lead them if they would come to him and desire it. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. That's what we need to learn. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name for evermore. Great is your mercy toward me. And we need it every day, don't we? Yes, indeed. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of the grave. And so that's how God is going to give us peace. Come over here to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is a real good psalm. Whenever you have a pity party, now I'm sure none of you have had a pity party, okay? When you ever have a pity party and you're real down and you think about it, here's a good psalm to read, okay? Especially in this day and age. Verse 1, do not fret yourself because of evildoers. That is, get frustrated. And do not be envious against the workers of iniquity. Look at all the money they get, but I don't have anything. Look at all the things that they have, but I don't have anything. Oh, poor, woe is me. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Okay. Remember this. For they shall be cut soon, they shall soon be cut down like the grass. What happened to Elvis? What's happened to some of these movie stars? What's happened to some of those people that were grand and glorious in this world? Soon cut down like the grass. And wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, because remember, if you have nothing in this world and you have God, or let's put it the other way, God has you, you have everything in the universe, though you don't have it now. But you will possess those things at the resurrection. Notice, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And of course, our greatest desire should be for eternal life. Okay, hold your place here, because we're coming back to Psalm 37. So you see, that this is why this is a good chapter to encourage yourself. And let's come back here to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Now, this is really quite a chapter when you go through it. Ephesians 3, okay, the last two verses. Now to him, that is God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is able to do exceeding abundantly. Now, I don't know how you can get a superlative greater than that. Ephesians 2, or 3 rather, verse 20. Above all that we ask or think. Now, ask is what we pray about. Think is what we desire. And, of course, we're to be filled with all the fullness of God, so that's greater than anything physical, right? According to the power that is working in us. So God is able to do it. Have you ever thought of something? Sometimes just even a casual thought completely leaves your mind. And then somewhere down the road, it happens. And you forgot all about it. Well, God didn't. See? So this is why we need to, in these times, encourage ourselves with the Word of God and see where we're going. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, even into the ages of eternity. Amen. Okay, now back here to Psalm 37. He shall give you the desires of your heart. A little if they are right. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See? So if you are on God's side, sooner or later it's going to work out. Now, in order to get to the sooner or later, you might have to go through the worse and more terrible. And you begin wondering, well, when is the sooner or later going to come? Okay. And he shall bring forth your righteousness like the light, and your judgment like the noonday. I told you so. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of him who carries out wicked devices. All right? Now, come down here to verse 11. All right? The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And what are we going to bring to the world? The peace of God. All right? Now come over here to verse 26. All the day long he deals graciously, that's the one who is serving God, and lends, and his children are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and live forevermore. For the Lord loves justice. He does not forsake his saints. Now be sure and mark that. He never forsakes the saints. They are his people. They are for the resurrection. They are preserved forever and ever, and that means they receive eternal life. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. How are they going to be cut off? The lake of fire. Now, if you've listened to the Revelation series, the audio, when you get to the last verse, they're cast into the lake of fire. Boom! And I think Randy really did a good job with that whole project, but there are certain ones that just have a certain emphasis. Whoever's not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Whoom! Okay. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the earth and later the universe and dwell in it forever. Where's New Jerusalem coming to? The new earth. Yes, indeed. Now, in what we're doing now, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Now, wisdom doesn't come automatically. Wisdom comes this way. You have to first learn knowledge. Then with an accumulation of knowledge, you begin to have understanding. Okay? Then when you're able to put it together and make judgments, then you have wisdom. See? But you've got to have knowledge, understanding, and then wisdom, and it comes in that way. Okay? And his tongue speaks of justice. Now here's why. Notice just what I said here, verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. Now can you think of some place in the book of Hebrews that it tells us about this? Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10. Going to write the laws in our hearts and inscribe them on our minds? Yes. And how are we to love God? Okay. With all our heart, mind, and soul, and being. Okay. Now notice, none of his steps shall slide, that is, into sin. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. And even if the wicked slay us, which, by the way, last year there were 4,223 professing Christians killed. The majority of them, guess where? In Muslim countries. Verse 33, the Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the earth. Now what if you don't have anything today? Now that's a pretty good swap, isn't it? Yes, indeed. What is God going to say to some of the saints? Because they overcame. You have two parables on that, right? Parable of the talents, parable of the pounds. The one who increased what God gave him. Because we're all stewards. See? Everything we have came from God. So we're all stewards of our body, of our minds, of our property, of our money, of everything that we have. So how did we use it? Now, of God's Spirit. If we grow and overcome, then God is going to say to those who overcome, blessed are you faithful because you have been faithful with a little. You will be faithful in much. You be over 5 cities. You be over 3 cities. You be over this part of the government. You help with that part of the government. You help assist with teaching people the word of God. You help those who are in trouble and difficulty, see? And don't you think God is going to give us some wonderful places to live in, even on the earth? Okay, so think on that. All right, verse 34, inherit the earth. We covered that. Okay, now let's go to some other ones. Let's come to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And always remember this. When times of trouble come, and we're going to face the worst times in the world. So what we are doing when we go through things like this, and you read scriptures like this, what this does, this helps arm your mind with strength and understanding so you can be able to handle the difficulties as they come. Okay? All right, now notice, Psalm 103, the whole psalm is fantastic. I don't think we're going to read the whole thing, but let's go through a good part of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All the benefits that God has. What's the greatest benefit? God's Spirit. What's the next greatest benefit? The Word of God. What's the next greatest benefit? The peace of God, the love of God, the truth of God, and all of these things, see? Now, if we can look at it this way, if we can look at Adam and Eve as a seed, and then the whole human family expanded from that, and because they were so evil, God had to prune it by killing it. But he kept Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives, and those were the seeds to plant coming down to our time. And look what it's grown into. Billions of people, and we don't know how many it's going to end up in the final analysis of the number of human beings that there will be and how it's going to be with the kingdom of God. And don't worry, it's never going to be crowded in the kingdom of God because there's the whole universe. You think that's enough room? Yes, indeed. Okay. Notice verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And when he doesn't, you have an affliction and he will take care of it later. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. All of this comes from God because you have direct connection with God the Father. Isn't that something? Yes, indeed. Who satisfies your desires with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, not until the resurrection. Okay. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in mercy. And all of that leads to peace and the covenant of peace that he has made with us. Okay. He will not always chide. You're not always going to have correction. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth. Now this is hard for us to comprehend because God can forget, wipe it out in an instant. Okay? We have a harder time because our memories need to be cleansed. Okay, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion upon his children, so God has compassion upon those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. You know, I won't make that comment. Okay. For man's days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. And the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place shall know it no more. But here's the thing to rely on. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That means enduring forever and ever and ever. Upon those who fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. To those who keep his covenant and to those who remember his precepts. Okay, now let's come to the New Testament. Let's see how all of this works together. Now, Jesus brought some things that were unknown before, and that is with the Holy Spirit within us. John 14. Okay. And the disciples didn't comprehend some of these things until after they saw the resurrected Christ. John 14. Okay. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 15. Now, these scriptures we've gone over a good number of times. But I tell you one thing, these are so important that we need to go over them and over and over and over them. Verse 15, if you love me, see, because everything gets down to recognizing the love of God. And that's difficult. We all have a hard time keeping the love of God, don't we? We all have our difficulties, don't we? Yes. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Then he says, a very astounding thing. This did not happen in the same way as it did for those who are going to be in the first resurrection from the Old Testament. They had the Spirit of Christ with them, so they will be in the first resurrection. But now God is doing something special with those that he is calling. Never been done before, because Christ had to reveal the Father. He was only known as the Most High and the Ancient of Days. So here's where he's revealing the Father more directly. And I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age, even the Spirit of the truth, which the world cannot receive, because it perceives it not, nor knows it, but you know it, because it dwells with you, and shall be with in you. See, so upon conversion, there is this, how should we say, speck of spiritual substance from God, the Holy Spirit, entering into your mind to beget your mind so that you are now a begotten son or daughter of God. Okay? Dwells with you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And then he said, a little while, the world shall see me no longer, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now notice verse 21. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them, and that means to practice them, as a way of life. That is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is how we receive the peace of God, right here. So Judas, not Iscariot, he didn't know how that's going to happen. And he said, Lord, what has happened that you're about to manifest yourself to us, not to the world? How are you going to do that? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He did not answer the question. Yes, you will see me after the resurrection and you'll understand it. Because he knew that was coming. So he didn't answer the question directly. He answered the question for those who afterwards would be called could understand. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now that's the whole message of Jesus Christ. And my Father will love him. Now notice, here's one of the greatest verses in the New Testament. and we, the Father and the Son, will come to him and make our abode with him. Christ and God the Father, with the earnest of the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us. That's why we have the direct connection to God. And make our abode with him. Now that's something. That's why it's so important that we come together on the Sabbath. We study the Word of God. We develop the Holy Spirit of God within us. We use the talents that God gives us, because God the Father and Jesus Christ are dwelling in us. And we are to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. So sometimes when that thought comes into your head, you know, you better do this, you better do that, you better do it, because God may be telling you something, see? Now, you know that if it says something contrary to the will of God, that's a temptation of Satan the devil. That's not from God. So you put that out of your mind, okay? So this is really something here, okay? Now notice, on the other hand, as we talked about, there are two classes of people. Those under law, who are judged by the law in their lives, and that includes the incorrigible wicked and even those who are good, law-abiding, sincere people in the world that don't know about God. Okay. Now then, he says, verse 24, the one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now notice about the Holy Spirit. Verse 25, I've spoken these things to you while I am yet present with you, but when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one will teach you all things. That's why, with prayer and Bible study, you develop the spiritual character and mind of Christ. Peace I leave with you. Now stop and think right now. None of the troubles that were on your mind before services are there now, right? You have peace of God, right? Okay, keep that as much as you can. But just like anything else, you have to renew it every day. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. No, because no peace in the world is ever worked out. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it fear. You have heard me say to you that I am going away, and that I will come to you again. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I said, I am going to the Father, because my Father is greater than I. Okay, now, come over here to John 16 and verse 33. You can read all the rest in there about loving God, keeping his commandments, staying in the vine, growing and overcoming, okay? Praying directly to God the Father. Now here, verse 32. So we're all going to have to face this just like they did. And I don't think they had a clue when he said this to them. Listen, the time is coming and has already come, that you shall be scattered, each to his own, and you shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be courageous, I have overcome the world. And so the peace of God will be with us, to help us, to guide us, to show us, okay? Let's come back here to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans 15. Let's pick it up here in verse 13, okay? It will come from God, and we need it, especially in the days that we are living. Verse 13, may the God of hope fill you now with all joy and peace in believing, that is, believing God, believing his truth, believing the gospel, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Yes, indeed. May that be for us. Now, chapter 12, verse 24. Not 12, 16. Beg your pardon. Can't even read my own writing. Okay? 16, 24. Okay? Or verse 20. Let's pick it up here in verse 20. But the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So he was thinking the return of Christ would be coming soon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Then come down here to verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now it's very interesting that what you see here is that Paul had a couple additions to what he originally wrote, and so he added another paragraph at the end with amen. So at the end of the book of Romans here, you have three amens, okay? It's like you writing a letter, P.S., okay? Oop, P.S. number two. Oop, P.S. number three. Okay. Now, let's come here to Colossians 3 and verse 15. And here's how we are to live using God's Spirit. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Now, this is also something very important for us to realize for those who are stuck on church government. Where does church government begin? With a ministry? No. Begins with each one. Okay? And if the peace of God rules in each one, guess what? We're going to have fewer problems, right? Between each other. Yes? Okay. Verse 15, Colossians 3. But let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Coupled with that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How does it come richly? A lot of Bible study, right? In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in everything, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So that's how we're to have the covenant of peace work in our lives and help us through these times of disaster and problems that come along. And so that we can help each other and help the brethren and preach the gospel and do the things that God wants us to do. So may the covenant of peace be with all of you. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.